Yeah, I'm like Neo now.
Oh, that was good. That was good.
That's Morpheus.
Good morning, everyone. Jurassic Views, Ottawa's Raptors podcast. I believe the one and only Ottawa Raptors podcast. Bryce Diamond, actually recording once again from Mississauga, visiting with my folks. And it's like Ottawa has just come with me when I look outside, despite the fact that when I arrived in the GTA, there was virtually no snow on the ground. Currently, it is sub-zero, which has not been the case for the last 2 days. God bless this place. And the wind is between 30 and 40 kilometers, and it is snowing. I wouldn't say quite heavily, and maybe that's a Ottawa-centric view of snow, but I would say it's a pretty steady precipitation, if you will. And I am sure that we are going to see 10 to 15 centimeters accumulate over the course of the next 6 or 7 hours. Talk about a true middle-aged Canadian talking about the weather on a basketball podcast. But y'all, this is just what the current state of affairs is. We the North, and we are getting a dumping here in Southern GTA near Port Credit in Mississauga. It's been glorious though, the last 2 days. I've enjoyed time with my folks. Always want to soak that time up. I've had some wonderful outings by the lake. It's really a healing balm to go down to the shores of Lake Ontario for me, someone who grew up in the neighborhood, in the area. I definitely have a connection, not just because of the Raptors, not just because of family, but to the land, to the environment. Lake Ontario is a really important place for me. So to go down to Port Credit and walk along the shore is really life-giving. And so even on a day like today, before real accumulation started, I was down this morning on the shores, just walking. And it was cold. Don't get me wrong. It was cold. A lot colder than when I went down Monday. And of course, yesterday, Tuesday. But it is good to be back. Also, I had some great beers. I know I've been talking a lot about beer these days, and I try to plug, give a shout out to breweries that I'm enjoying their craft. And one brewer I got to hang out with, my man, Drew Brown. Mad love for that guy. Really good friend. Him and I were at Merit Brewery in Hamilton. And if you live in Hamilton, if you visit Hamilton, Merit for me is my favorite place to go. They make outstanding beers, as do a few other Hamilton breweries, but the place is just filled with good people. Tej, the owner, is just a quality guy, and the staff that they hire, the people they hire, are just really wonderful people. The bartending service yesterday was top notch, just filled with good humans, and you just felt better being there. So again, not to go too long into beer making, but to give a shout out to a great brewery and a great business, a great boss in Tej at Merit. And yeah, again, if you're in Hamilton on James Street, make sure you visit Merit if you like beer. And if you just like smoked meats, they got that. If you're a vegan, check out what they got for the vegans and vegetarians. Lots of options. I had an incredible smoked bacon, Brussels sprout, aged cheddar, mac and cheese, and it was delicious, especially alongside some of their beers. Anyways, I digress. I step back. I withdraw my time from talking about beer and get on to the Raptors, because that's why we're here. The Toronto Raptors have had, as you know, has been well documented by many people, a very shaky season. It has been a season we did not expect, a season we did not want, and the reception to it has been quite poor. We just won against the Knicks, who are now 3-1 against, as we closed out that season series. And hopefully that gives us a little bump, a little hop in the step as we go on a very long road trip, a 7-game road trip that begins tonight, 10 o'clock Eastern, 7 p.m. local time in Sacramento, a Sacramento team that is playing inspired basketball under the coaching of Mike Brown. And I thought I would take some time as we go on the West Coast to just talk about the importance of trips like this. Now, when you go the West Coast, when you go on a road trip as a team from the Eastern Conference, it gives you the opportunity to bond. You know, you look at the schedule that we had the last little while, we were at home for a lot of games. One of our longest, if not the longest, home stretch of the season. We were playing, I think, 7 games at home. Milwaukee, New York, Portland, Charlotte, Atlanta. So that's 6 games at home. Went on a mini trip, 3-game trip, New York, Milwaukee, Minnesota. Came back home for Boston and New York. So that's about as many games as we're going to play at home in a short period of time. To get 8 games out of 11 at home is special. And sometimes home is a great place to focus, to get grounded, to, you know, feel well supported by the home fans. It had some shaky starts. I really believe that we threw a game away against the Milwaukee Bucks when we went to overtime with them. I thought we played quite poor against the Knicks. We lost by 4 to them, very winnable game. I thought we had a real good chance to beat an Atlanta team that has a little bit of momentum, but we just didn't show up. And Pascal had one of his worst games of the season against Atlanta. I thought we threw away that game. We certainly threw away the Boston game, up 5 going in the 4th. And Peyton Pritchard was with the closing group, and he was hitting shots. And, you know, we really did not play that game particularly well. And again, they were without Jason Tatum that game. I realize OG was out for us, but Fred VanVleet was out for us. OG was out in the New York game. But again, you're up 5, you're in your own building, the players on the floor are healthy, and Boston is also missing Robert Williams, who got injured earlier in that game, and so did Marcus Smart. So they're missing 3 of their top 5 guys, and certainly 3 of their guys who closed the game. And we just got outplayed, maybe even outcoached, but definitely outplayed. We were sloppy. There was even opportunities after a difficult 4th quarter where we didn't execute down the stretch. We had 3 opportunities in the last 20 seconds. And so these things happen, and we had a real opportunity to give a good push in those 8 games at home. And unfortunately, we went 4-4 at home. I was hoping we'd go, you know, maybe 6-2, because there was a lot of winnable games there. And you think, okay, you're going to lose to Milwaukee, you're going to lose to Boston. But when they don't when the Bucks don't have Giannis and Middleton and the Celtics didn't have Tatum and didn't finish the game with two other starters, you think, actually, those are very winnable games. So he had 8 very winnable games. He went 4-4, and it's quite disappointing. But they did win the final game of those 8 games at home against the Knicks. And now we focus our attention to the West Coast. We play 7 games on this road trip: Sacramento, Golden State, Portland, Phoenix, Utah, before we make our way back home through Houston and then Memphis. It is not an easy schedule. In this stretch, we have 1 back-to-back, which is Golden State and then Portland. It's too bad, you know, the people making the schedules, which I think might be like this kind of automated computer system now, that's trying to get, you know, low mileage and all this kind of stuff. But it's too bad when we're in Sacramento, which is closer to Portland than Golden State. It's too bad our back-to-back isn't Sacramento then Portland or Portland then Sacramento. It's not, which is too bad. It's also too bad that an even better back-to-back would have been Sacramento then Golden State, then get a day to travel to Portland. But that wasn't the case. Regardless, this is what it is. Now, luckily at the end of this road trip, we go Memphis, come back home, get 2 days off on the 6th and 7th of February before we play the San Antonio Spurs, which starts off at least a 5-game homestand. Let's see if that's, yes, a 5-game homestand. San Antonio, Utah, Detroit, Orlando, and then right after the All-Star break, we get New Orleans at home before we go to Detroit and Cleveland, who are not too far away, and teams we have beaten for sure. A lot of East Coast games after that stretch, or Eastern Conference games after that homestand. So this is the time. This is the make or break time in the schedule. We went 4-4. We missed opportunities at home. And now here we are on the road. And this road opportunity has been spoken about by the players in the last few days. And after practice yesterday, a number of the players were talking about, you know, this is a chance to get away from distractions. And sometimes home is great because you're in your own bed, you're with your family, there's familiar grounds, obviously. Being at home, there's the stadium you play in, the people who work at that stadium, and you can get in a bit of routine. And the West Coast trip, or any long extended road trip, has a different kind of routine with it, but it doesn't have the same distractions, whether it's endorsements or your family or whatever else, people recognizing you in the street. It's not the same when you're on the road. And so this is the chance. And I thought, you know, I'd look back with you on this pod to look at some of the great road trips that we have had, or at least rock solid road trips that we've had. You know, the championship year was obviously a banner year. We have the banner to prove it in Scotiabank Arena. And over the years, we've had some really good road trips, especially to the West. And in 2019, actually it was 2018, in the 2018-19 season, the Toronto Raptors went to the West Coast pretty early in the season, which is quite typical actually for the Raptors to get 4 to 6 games on the road sometime before Christmas. And this is what happened. We had just lost in Brooklyn, came back for a game against Milwaukee, and we lost that game. And then we went to LA to play the Clippers. We played Golden State, who of course were a super team. And then we had Portland and Denver before we went home to Indiana and Cleveland. And although we only went 2-2 on this road trip, we had an important game to play specifically against Golden State. But I would also say the Clippers-Warriors back-to-back games were really important. Number one, because they were back-to-backs. Number two, because Kawhi, I think, only played one of the games of this West Coast trip as part of his load management. And when we played the Clippers, we absolutely thumped them. We won by 24 points, and it was a real cruise game. The Clippers at the time were seen as a team who could be quite solid in the West. We were 22-7 with that win. They fell to 17-10, but they were quite strong. They had a younger Tobias Harris. They had a Shai Gilgeous-Alexander in his rookie season. Avery Bradley was still very much a guy who was quite relevant. They had Dino Gallinari before he went to Atlanta. Gortat, who was on Washington. And they had a really good bench. They had Lou Williams on this team, who won sixth man. Montrezl Harrell, who was in the six-man race the next, you know, couple seasons. They also had Patrick Beverley, who can play great defense. And they did have a really solid team. They started off the season quite well. They did make the playoffs that year. And you felt like, you know, this was a good game to start off, and you knew you had the back-to-back on the other side. Like I said, Kawhi didn't play in this game. And so for the Raptors, this was a chance to say, hey, who else is going to step up on this team when Kawhi's off the court, when Kawhi maybe is injured? And in this game, interestingly enough, Nick Nurse decided to start Fred VanVleet, which was a great kind of foreshadowing into this team later this season. We had an incredible bench that really helped us throughout that championship season, but also that championship run in the playoffs. Serge Ibaka started. He was an absolute beast in this Clippers game. Pascal Siakam was on the rise, the soon-to-be crowned most improved player. But Fred VanVleet had 5 points in this game. He was just 2 for 5 from the field, but he had a career-high 14 assists in this game. Kyle Lowry was super efficient, 8 of 13, was 4 of 8 from downtown. He had 7 assists, 5 boards, to go along with his 21 points and 30, plus 30 in the plus-minus department. But the game-high plus-minus was 34, Danny Green. So we did this without Kawhi Leonard. The next night, and probably the most significant game within this road trip, and probably what made it such a memorable road trip, is we played a back-to-back, and the game on the second night of the back-to-back was the Golden State Warriors. Not playing in this game, again, Kawhi Leonard. Starting in this game, Fred VanVleet. And this team went right into the mouth of the lion, the mouth of the dragon in Golden State, and just exploded, just took this team apart. Kyle Lowry was a maestro, a magician, a masterclass on this night. 23 points, 12 assists. Serge Ibaka, again, an incredible night. 20 points, 12 rebounds. Was excellent from the free throw line, 6 of 6. Once again, the bench was huge, pouring in points, all pluses in this game. And the Toronto Raptors just walked away from Golden State with a lot of excitement and swag because they won by 20, had a lead of almost 20 points at the half, and just cruised against the champs. And you kind of felt like doing this without Kawhi was a statement game, a statement that we were not just solely dependent on Kawhi, but a statement game to the rest of the league that Now that we have a top five player who I think, as the season played out and the playoffs plays out, very much proved that he was the number one player that season. But saying to the league, we got a number five guy, but this is how good the rest of our roster is, including the bench. You're on notice, NBA. We're the team to beat this year. Yes, we had the most wins in the Eastern Conference the year before. We were the number one seed. But this year, we've got all the cards in our hand. And when we're playing them with, you know, the masterclass that Kyle Lowry is and the mad scientist that Nick Nurse was, with all the right ingredients and power and experience in his hands with the players that he had, the rest of the league is on notice and it's going to be dangerous. So that's kind of like one little, West Coast trip. It was a statement one. Now, we lost the next two games to Portland and Denver, but we got what we needed. The next season, of course, Kawhi had left, and a lot of folks felt like, you know, we took a step back. We're not really going to be in contention. Some people were talking about Miami because they had Jimmy Butler. Others, of course, were focused on the Celtics because that's what the media does. Folks focuses on LA and Boston, especially guys and women who grew up in the 80s and 90s as teens, as young adults. They just love giving more respect to Boston and LA when they really don't deserve it. But, you know, it's like Notre Dame in college football. That's just what it is. And the Raptors at this point in the season, when we went on our West Coast trip in March, early March, there was a lot of talk about the Raptors being dangerous, but at the end of the day, not having a top five guy was going to mean that we probably couldn't get it done in the playoffs. And then all of a sudden, Pascal Siakam makes the All-Star game, played at an all-NBA level. Kyle Lowry was still playing exceptional basketball as the wizard, as the savant of this team. His pick and roll game, I think, his ability to do the pick and roll was just as good as Chris Paul's that year. He was another all-star that season. But going into this game, we had lost two, one to Milwaukee at home, which was a bit of a shot. To say, oh, the Bucks are really the best team in the East. And it would have been amazing to have fully operational, fully healthy, non-pandemic playoffs, because I think Milwaukee-Toronto would have been the conference finals instead of Boston and Miami. It was like a whole separate season when the bubble occurred. Nothing to take away from Miami and LA, who got to the finals that year, but it was a separate season. It really wasn't the same season that was playing out. Not that Miami or LA were bad teams. They probably would have been at least in the quarterfinals. Likely Miami plays the Clippers in the finals that year. But at this time, before the pandemic hit, the Bucks beating the Raptors kind of was a statement game for them and kind of showed that they were the best team in the East. The Raptors then lost three nights later to Charlotte. And then the first game of this West Coast trip, lose to the Denver Nuggets, and we played quite poor. So we lost three in a row. We were 42-18. I think we were still second in the East. But then we go out and we bully the Phoenix Suns in the second half. Then we go into Golden State. Of course, they had injuries. We deal with them easily. The bench looked great. We go into Sacramento. We kind of cruise in the fourth quarter. But Pascal made some really nice buckets in that game to close that out. And he looked like he was the number one guy on a championship contending team, especially when you think of how good Fred was that year and that Kyle Lowry was excellent and that we did have a bona fide bench still. Obviously, Marc Gasol and Serge Ibaka were still huge parts of that team. So really well-balanced. We were one of the best defensive teams, top three in the league in defense that season. And then we go into Utah and really bullied them in the fourth quarter. And literally OG started bullying Rudy Gobert. Rudy Gobert tried to make some noise and OG clapped back at him. And Kyle Lowry in Utah against a Utah team that looked like they were a top 4 or 5 team in the NBA. We go into their building and Kyle Lowry just made some ridiculous shots to put that game out of reach. And I think ended Mike Conley's career as a starter and kind of put him underneath the foot of Kyle Lowry. Those two guys, of course, pinned together because the Memphis Grizzlies drafted them back to back and then traded Kyle Lowry. And I think Kyle Lowry has shown quite clearly throughout his career that he's a better player and really always has been, but especially in the last 10 years of his career versus the first kind of 5 or 6. So that game against Utah ended the season. That was the last game the Toronto Raptors played until we went to the bubble. August 1st against the Los Angeles Lakers was our first game back, and we played excellent in that game too. But those 4 games that we won in a row were incredible. We played at such a high level, especially in that Utah game. And again, we were 46-18. We had the 4th best record, I believe, or the 3rd best record in the NBA. And we were just finding our stride. And unfortunately, we know what happens after that. But it was a great road trip. And it really bonded guys together. And it was brilliant. And we have that opportunity kind of facing us again as we go on this West Coast trip. Now, the last West Coast trip that I want to talk about is a trip that we took again in March, kind of early into mid-March. It started off in Cleveland last season with a loss. Again, a Cleveland team that's so tied to us because they're youthful. They've got some length. They got some real potent players. Now they've added that with Donovan Mitchell. But we lost to them, and that was meant that we had lost 3 in a row, similar to that 2020 season, losing to some teams we could have beaten. We lost to Orlando and Detroit at home. Oh, my gosh. Another loss to Dwayne Casey in his championship game. And we lost that game by 2. What the heck? Then we go into Cleveland, first game on this road trip, and we lose. And you're thinking, okay, how is this West Coast trip gonna play out, knowing we just lost to Cleveland? Then we get San Antonio, an easy game. We beat them quite easily. And that starts a 5-game winning streak. We play Phoenix the next game on a back-to-back, go to Denver. How tough is that back-to-back? Phoenix to Denver, my gosh. And then we play the Lakers and the Clippers in the next 2 games and beat both of them. Especially that Clippers game was a real gutsy win. You could tell we were exhausted. Of course, it was the 6th game of our 6-game road trip. And we were able to, figure out a way. And that was when the Clippers were kind of ascending again as Paul George was coming back into their roster. I believe at the time Norm Powell had gone to the Clippers, so that was pretty nice to have a reunion, but he was starting to play really good basketball. And so that helped us, really catapulted us, that 5-game winning streak on that West Coast trip, really catapulted us into that 25-11 record to finish last season and get us into the 5th seed. And I'm kind of hoping that happens again. Later in that run at the end of March, we win 5 games in a row. We play Cleveland, get a rematch against them, beat them, beat a weak Indiana team by quite a bunch. That was the fire game where we had to have the fans evacuate. Then we beat Boston in overtime, which was a character win. Easily dismantled the Minnesota Timberwolves 125-102. And then we go to Orlando, a team who at times can be a bit of a thorn in our side. We've seen that again this year. And when we go in there, we beat them quite well, 102-89. End up losing to Miami in really a good game. That was Kyle Lowry's first game back to Toronto. We had missed them their trip earlier in that year due to personal reasons. And then after the Miami loss at home, we beat Atlanta, Philly, and the lowly Houston Rockets at home before sitting basically our starting lineup in New York, where we lost that game. So we had quite a few streaks going. Obviously, we were very good, 25-11 to finish the season in the last 34 games. Who knows what's going to happen on this particular trip where, you know, we play seven games, four of which are on the West Coast, then going to Utah, Houston, and Memphis to close it out. As I said, one back-to-back. But this is a real make-or-break time before the All-Star break because we do have a weaker schedule when we get back home. And what are we going to do with it? Right now, our record is 21-27, quite poor. We're 48 games in, which means what? 48 games in means we have 34 games to go in the season. Last year, we went on the run with 36 games to go and went 25-11. We just won our last game. What will our last 35 games be like? What will our record be? Can we win 20 and go 20-15 and almost get to that 500 mark? Can we explode like we did last year? Maybe in our last 35 games, we can go 25-10. Wouldn't that be something? If we did, we'd be 45-37 and certainly would make life a little more difficult for the Miami Heat as they start to ascend this season, which Jimmy Butler has said they're likely going to do. He's actually said that they're going to win the championship this year, or at least return to the NBA Finals. I think that's a little far-fetched. To me, Miami is actually the fifth or sixth best team in the Eastern Conference right now. And the way Philly's playing, I don't think that Miami is going to repeat against them. And knowing that in a half court heavy playoff series, I think PJ Tucker being on the Philadelphia 76ers is probably going to help them win that series. Also, the mental toughness and playoff experience of PJ Tucker is probably going to help them as well. But yeah, what does this all mean for the Toronto Raptors? What are we going to do in our last 35 games? We've won the first one before we went on this road trip, the win against the Knicks, which was a very good win. What are we going to do against Sacramento? We lost a game against Sacramento at home that we should have won. We were terrible against Golden State when they didn't have Steph Curry. We played brutal. Jordan Poole was allowed to run around and get free quite easily and make a lot of shots. We looked pathetic in that game. But we have a chance. We have a real chance, especially over the course of the next 11 games before the All-Star break, to do quite well. Maybe go 7-4. Maybe even surprise ourselves and go 8-3. And I think if we do that, go 7-4, 8-3, I think we've prepared ourselves for a really good run. We've created a little more belief as well as had the guys come together and build that chemistry. I really think that we can turn it up and at the very least, you know, catch the 8 seed in the East and get into that play-in. And if we host a second game, if we're to lose the first game to a team, you know, like Atlanta, Chicago, or New York, that's fine. I'm not afraid of that. Any of those teams, even if we're playing them on the road. But if we get one of those teams at home, again, I'm feeling quite confident that we can go 1-1. in the play-in if we're the 8 seed. If we're the 9 and 10, that makes life a little more difficult. You know, to go on that second game on the road is going to be tricky, doable, but tricky. But if you want to get there, you're going to have to get wins. And if you're going to get wins, this is the time, right? This is a make or break time in these next 11 games. I'm excited to see what we bring tonight against Sacramento. I still am quite hopeful. I would love to see Jakob Poeltl or a good center on our team. Obviously, there's other pieces we've talked about. But to me, you know, destiny is in our own hands. And the team that we got is good enough to at least go 7-4 in our next 11. And if they can commit to each other in these next 7 games, I think they can do something quite special. Scotty has played his best basketball in the last 5-6 games. We know how good Pascal can be. It's nice to get a little bit of rest coming into this Sacramento game. I'm hoping that Nick can sit him, can sit Pascal in one of these games, the next 3 games. Certainly the Portland game would make the most sense to me. I'm hoping that he can also get some rest for Gary and for Scotty so that all the 5 starters in 5 games can get at least 1 game off to help them recover. But I really believe that there's something special that could happen because I believe this is a special group. Again, it's not a perfect group. There are definite holes, but there is a real good mix of skill. And if Nick Nurse can play, can coach at a high level, Bobby and Masai do their best to play do their jobs, perform in their roles at a high level, then we have a chance to get results in this next 7 games on the road and 11 games before the All-Star break and really build some excitement. So we'll see. I know I've been repeating myself a lot in this pod and in other pods about kind of where we're at, but I think that is true. And when you look at other media members that are paid to do it, there's a lot of reoccurring themes and a lot of repetition. Speaking of repetition, Blake Murphy wrote an article, not about trades, which he did, but that's not the one I want to refer to. He did an article about the Toronto Raptors defense and why it's struggling this season and what it means, the struggles mean for Nick and for him to make adjustments and what it means for Masai and Bobby. But I think both Blake Murphy and Samson Folk have been very clear that the type of defense that we play, that Nick Nurse is asking his team to play, is exhausting the guys. And the minutes to go with that are further exhausting our team. And as high a motor as Scotty and Pascal have, as durable as OG and Gary can be, it is wearing on our guys. We're seeing it in the fourth quarter. And obviously we know both with the knee and Fred VanVleet's back that it's taking a toll on Fred VanVleet. And so take a look at that article, Blake Murphy's article on the defense and what it means and why, we're playing it, but also why it has struggled this season. Take a look at that one. Let me know what you think. And keep cheering on this team, especially in the next 11 games. Don't throw away the season. Don't talk about tanking just yet. Let's get try and focus on these next 11 games. And you know what? If we finish under 500, we go 5-6, you can tell me to stop talking about making the play-in even. You can tell me and Zaya to tank and just, turn it off like OKC does with Shea Gildress with Pascal and Fred. You can just tell them to sit down for the rest of the season and let us focus on the offseason right away. But until then, if we go 6-5 or more, then I ask you to start admitting that we've got a special group if you don't already. Start admitting that we have some real hope to make the plan and make some noise in the plan. And maybe even make life quite difficult for a team in the playoffs, should we get there. All right, y'all, I'm going to stop talking. This has already gone longer than I wanted it to. I was hoping to get my dad on today, but it wasn't in the cards. Hopefully, I'm able to get him on the pod tomorrow. Much love from Mississauga. Catch up to you soon. Peace. I think I don't do dream or money or culture. I'm